Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I have the great fortune of having Dennis Patoko on the line with me today. Dennis is the CEO and founder and editor-in-chief of BizCatalyst 360, an award-winning website, and he's also produced something called Good Works. There it is, Good Works 360. Dennis, you've done a lot of different things in and out of the corporate sector, and I think we should start talking about that in terms of what did you do as a corporate individual? I see on your resume that there's something there called a non-executive director.
yeah, that's a European term for being a board member. But I'll just jump right in and sure. I'll give you the what I call the Reader's Digest version of my career.
Okay.
And that'll lead effectively up to BizCatalyst and then ultimately to our primary interest, and that's Good Works. I spent about 35 years in commercial banking, initially in the U.S., working for a lot of the major banks a lot of people would know of if I mentioned their names, and traveled around the country, ultimately ended up in Tampa, launched a business with a good friend of mine, and that was back in the 90s, and that took me from not just Tampa, it took me up to Canada, took me over to England, took me to Australia. Ultimately, I ended up living, working, and owning a company in England. It was a mortgage business over there. That's where I was lucky enough to meet my wife. I spent about 10 years back and forth to England, ultimately settled down here in Tampa because I'm from Pittsburgh, Mickey, but once I visited Tampa and saw the sunshine and saw the fact that I didn't have to shovel 12 inches of snow every winter, it was marvelous. So I always called Tampa home no matter how much I traveled. And so we've been settled down here now in Tampa for about 14 years. My wife followed an interesting path. She was very much involved in business across Europe. With my company and with other companies, I ultimately sold my company to Lehman Brothers, as a matter of fact. She stayed with them at the time. Mm-hmm. And so she had a lot of responsibility. Where that all led us is I sold everything. We got married. We settled down here in Tampa. And it's like the best analogy I can give you, Mickey, it's like the dog that's chasing the car. You find you catch the car, then you say, now what am I going to do with it?
Right.
Well, we caught the car. We were blessed to catch it at a relatively young age. So we're back here in Tampa and living the life, as they say, of sunshine. Mm-hmm. We were blessed with enough success that we could have retired very early. But we step back and say, look, what do we want to do here? You know, where's our priorities? So we kind of divided our life commitment into three buckets. One was giving back. And when I say giving back, I mean not just writing a check. I'm talking about time, talent, and treasure. And I'll come back to that one because that comes full circle to us. The second one was traveling the world. We've been doing that ever since then. And then the third one was staying active. And that's where BizCatalyst came in, you know, keeping the mind active. We hear that a lot of people, as they get older, they start doing crossword puzzles or Sudoku. Well, we decided we wanted to do something different, so we launched BizCatalyst. And I have to call BizCatalyst kind of like the hobby that went wild. It was, can we build it? What would we do with it? It's just going to be interesting. We might meet a few people. Well, here we are, 7 years, coming up on 7 years since it was launched. We've got almost 600 people on 6 continents writing for us. We've got 20,000 articles published. It's won an award along the way. It's grown well beyond anything we expected. However, it keep us engaged. We've met a lot of good people. Mickey, I wouldn't be talking to you today if it weren't for BizCatalyst.
Exactly.
It's served a purpose of keeping us connected both with the knowledge and what's going on in the world, but meeting people. And then ultimately, these things I'm just talking about now start to connect the dots with Good Works, and I can carry on with that at your convenience.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one heck of a departure from Sudoku, that's for sure. But let's talk about BizCatalyst 360 a little bit more. You said award-winning. How did you get people to get interested in what you were doing with BizCatalyst 360, and did you have a target audience in mind, and has it, I mean, clearly it's achieved your goals. What were those goals?
Mickey, that is the perfect question, and here's why. Because we were blessed with enough success, we did something, we did it in reverse. And what I mean by that is we decided we were going to do this. There were absolutely no economic motives. There weren't advertisers concerns. There weren't bureaucracy concerns. It was two people with a lot of business talent saying, if we could build a website, the kind that we wouldn't mind visiting every morning when we were in business, and if we could fill it with talented people that were writing about what we call, let me back up. We have everybody has an editorial policy. Ours is pretty simple. We publish good stuff, those two words. And we started out with, we're going to publish good stuff. We're going to look at all the rules out there in publishing for what a lot of people call our website, kind of an online magazine. It's kind of that. It's kind of a media digest. It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Most of the comparisons we've had are to things like some stretch between Forbes and the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. So we started looking at them early in the game saying, what are the rules that the writers follow to publish with them? And I happen to know enough good people that wrote for them at the time. And so we took virtually every rule we could find and we broke it. And we called it constructive disruption. And what I mean by that is, how can we build a website that starts and ends with what's best for our writers and take away all the bureaucracy and all the things they have to deal with in dealing with other publications? One of which, and this is a very significant one, and this starts to answer your question just a little bit. If you're a writer, and I've learned this over many, many years now, you know, you spend hours putting together that perfect article. And I don't mean writing a book. I'm talking about writing an article that you might want to put on LinkedIn or you might want to put on your blog or whatever. So you spend hours because it's going to represent you, and it might even be representing your business. So you take the time, you craft it, you edit it, you do all this work, and you finally say, publish. It's out there. It gets onto LinkedIn. It gets onto Facebook, Twitter, wherever else you might want to do. And, you know, a week or two later, it circulates, and you might get some comments. You might not. And then you're sitting down in a week or two, and here's a blank sheet of paper again. And yet you wrote a really great article. It wasn't breaking news. It was good stuff. And nobody sees it. So right. We're going to do it backwards. We're going to go out to writers and say, look, like any other website, we like publishing new stuff, but we don't care about the fact that old stuff, which every publisher tells me, never publish something that's been published somewhere else because it'll kill you on Google searching and all that. And we said, we're not building this for Google. We're building this for our writers. So we said, we're going to publish old stuff that's still good stuff. So we adopted what we called an evergreen strategy, which means, Mickey, if you wrote it, if it was relevant today, it's got to be relevant 2 years from now. It's mm-hmm. not breaking news. It's not time sensitive. You won't see anything called the best of 2019 on our website. In fact, you won't see a date on our website. We had 20,000 articles, not one have a date on it. So then we went out to the audience. Remember, we're not in the publishing business at the time. We're going out to just people I know primarily through LinkedIn and saying, here's what we're doing. We noticed that you're writing some articles on your blog. And guess what? Here's our policy and here's how we're going to do it. And we said, look, send us your new stuff, but send us your old stuff. That started building some momentum. And again, we were getting the naysayers on the sidelines saying, you guys are nuts. You'll never get any volume. You're going to get killed by Google. Here we are 7 years later, coming up on our anniversary in just about a month here. And again, we published 20,000 articles. We won an award. And I've talked to some people that are pretty connected to the Google algorithms because they've reached out to us and said, you know, why is it that our Google rankings are through the ceiling? We're breaking through all those barriers that everybody told us we couldn't do. And, you know, probably over half of our publishing is republished. It's not brand new, but it's timeless. And they said, it's a matter of two things, the critical mass, which means how much you guys have published in 7 years, and the fact that it's good enough stuff that it's attracting comments. I'm going to give you just one statistic that may not be relevant to everybody that's listening to this, but it's important to publishers. You want people to comment on things you write. And the more people that visit your website, the more traction, blah, blah, blah. And so whatever. We looked at it. We were told that the average, ratio of articles published to comments on a website was at best 10 to 1, which means if you publish 20,000 articles, you might have 2,000 comments. We looked at this recently because we've been doing a lot of upgrading the site. We've published 20,000 articles. We've got over 16,000 comments. Now, what that tells us is we're publishing good stuff because it's attracting people to want to engage, but it's also adding to that Google algorithm that says, you know, we're breaking through the ceiling. So as you can tell, I go on and on, but if I went through the list of every rule we broke, it's pretty amazing. I'll give you one.
Mm-hmm.
First question we get when somebody calls us and went right for us, well, how many words does it have to be? And we said, we don't care. Could be 100, could be 2,000. Let us worry about breaking it into parts. What about pictures? Can I give you pictures? Yeah, we've got pictures. Don't give us any pictures. Do I have to do the publishing? No, we do all the work behind the scenes. What topic can I write about? And our answer is pretty simple. If you have the talent to write, write about whatever inspires you, because our audience has grown across life, culture, and business. It started out exactly on business because that's what our background was. But over the years, our audience says, look, we like what you do. We like how you do it. But on weekends, we want to read something that might be a little less intense. So we experimented, and that goes back about 4 years. And I'd say today, probably about 40% of what we publish has nothing to do with business. You can relate to it in your business life, but it's not leadership 101. It's not human resources. So
right.
Grown by breaking the rules, and we've kind of broken through the barriers, and we turned the corner probably about 3 years ago when we won that award, and suddenly the writers started coming to us in droves because we suddenly showed up on the roadmap, if you will. And
right.
What writer doesn't want to see their archives live on?
Exactly. So this is amazing. This is an amazing outlet that you found to let people put their writing in a forum that is totally accessible. They have, in fact, a great deal of control over what gets seen.
Yeah.
And that's just brilliant. How does this translate to what you're doing with GoodWorks 360? And I'm going to ask you that question with the caveat that we've only got like a minute or two left in this episode.
Okay.
And we can you know, easily stretch that into episode two if you want.
No, that's great. That's great. I'll give you the Reader's Digest answer. Let me connect the dots. After learning what we learned and building this big mega giant, and trying to intersect that with our desire to give back. As I said earlier, we started out about 18 months ago with the notion. We said, look, we're very involved in nonprofits in Tampa. We've been hands-on. I've been on a number of boards here in Tampa for years. But there are so many communities around the world that don't have this kind of a robust commitment of people and time and talent. I want to be able to say to anybody in the world, using technology, if you are a good nonprofit, no matter where you are, we're going to help you through GoodWorks 360 using all the virtual technology, and we're never going to charge a dime. And that's, we use the technology of BizCatalyst to build GoodWorks. And I'm happy to say it's a year since we launched GoodWorks on October 1st. We've got 60 people helping us around the world do the virtual thing, and we've had over 36 clients.
That's amazing. I'm looking at the website right now. Let's make this a little more relevant to the average nonprofit. What would the average nonprofit benefit from by visiting this website?
Well, in most cases, the one thing we find out from virtually every nonprofit, and it's now become part of our operating model, no matter what they're doing, no matter where they are, we're not talking about big nonprofits now, like the American Red Cross and that. We're talking about the sweet spot is kind of in the middle. They're past the startup stage. They're good. They've got great passion. But what they all seem to be lacking is visibility. So what we do now is we interview every one of them, Mickey, and we publish their story on the Big Kahuna website. And then we use that as an opening to learn more about them, share their story with the world, get them volunteers, get them donations. And then we move into the rest of the services that you can find on GoodWorks360.com free of charge.
That's amazing. Okay, in the interest of time, let's wrap this episode and pick up a second episode to continue this conversation.
Okay.
I think it would be cool to learn a little bit more also about your board experiences and see if any of that has translated into the way GoodWorks has been created.
Sure.
So, Dennis, thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I look forward to doing episode two with you here in a couple minutes. To our audience, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Our thanks go to Dennis Patoko for his work with BizCatalyst 360 and GoodWorks 360. If you haven't checked out those websites, I encourage you to do so. And we will look forward to seeing you again in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.